So you touched on two, I think, I don't know, hallmarks of the Thai forest tradition, and I think especially Lung Pao Cha's flavor, and those were like the communal practice of the pujas, and also like the communal chore periods and the working together. And maybe if we could explore like how those things, because like somebody was asking the other day about maybe those things were unexpected for many of us coming to the monastic form, mm-hmm. and even things like the chanting and bowing, there may even be sort of previous sort of baggage with those things and working and understanding how they function in the practice.
Yeah, I think it's just recognizing that it is a convention. it isn't an ultimate truth. But conventions are helpful if they're used skillfully. So that using the bowing, and that's say like Ajahn Chah's, you use the bowing as a means of establishing mindfulness, of stopping. So you go into a hall, and rather than just sort of kind of rushing in and plopping yourself down, you go into the hall and you stop, and you bow, and then you leave the hall, rather than I got to leave, and you rush off. You stop and you bow, and it's an opportunity for stopping, and that stopping is really an important part of practice, at learning how to start, because that is a wedge into the momentum of the mind that is becoming, and so creating those opportunities for stopping in various ways. Chanting is one of them, or rather, bowing is one of them. So that bowing, and how Ajahn Chah would say, yeah, you go back to your kuti, and you put your stuff down, or you bow, just, you know, having a shrine. So then what you're doing is, rather than creating a, you start to relate to your space a bit differently than it's just your kind of hangout spot in the forest, to a place of it's a shrine, and then you're reflecting on, okay, this was offered through the faith and generosity of the lay community in order for me to practice Dhamma, and to that bowing is also an acknowledgement of that offering of generosity and faith that the lay community has, that they make an offering to the monastery, and the people who live there are going to use it to further their spiritual practice, and so then it's both a certain establishing of respect and gratitude, as well as stopping, slowing down, and not just impulsively coming back or going out again, but just collecting oneself, gathering oneself together, composing oneself, and bowing, using the bowing to help to do that, because it's physically you have to stop and compose the mind, and then it's a respectful gesture, and then it changes the mental state, changes that momentum of the mind in a very skillful way. So those are bowing is something that Ajahn Chah really put a lot of emphasis on, emphasized a lot on just, paying, bowing to to the senior monks, and oftentimes in many monasteries, they might not, if they bow to anybody, it would just be the one sort of one senior monk, and then and it's sort of like almost like you got to earn it to see. And Ajahn Chah was sort of, no, it's not personal. It's just paying respects to the form, and then using it as a way of cultivating that sense of respect and gratitude. I can remember one time, a Westerner came to Wat Pa Pong and was staying there for a little while, and then asked Ajahn, just really in a very irritated way, you know, why do we have to bow so much? I mean, it seems so unnecessary to have to bow all the time. And Ajahn Chah said, yes. He said, it's good exercise. You keep get you in good shape. It's good for your digestion. Just do it. sort of sidestep the whole thing.